Welcome back to Through the Word. This is your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in the infamous Psalm 40. Have you ever felt stuck in life? Like you're at the bottom of a deep, dark hole, and no matter what you try to do to get out of it, it only makes it worse? As a kid, I believed that quicksand was a real danger. I mean, Indiana Jones fell into it, cowboys rode into it somehow, Atreyu lost his horse in it. Somehow, I thought quicksand was going to be a bigger problem than it turned out to be in life. But those movies trained me, somehow, to survive it. I learned, the more we struggle sometimes, the more we sink. David felt stuck in a hole in Psalm 40, unable to get himself out. So he did one of the hardest things we can ever do when sinking in a bog. He waited. Verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. If you grew up in the 80s, this song was blaring all over the radio to the tune of U2's song, 40, aptly named, for it was a rock song based on this psalm. Frontman Bono has always had an intimate relationship with the Psalms, and in a meeting with Eugene Peterson, Bono said about hearing the psalm in church, great words, shame about the tune. He went on to say, why isn't church music more honest like this? You can listen to U2's song 40 today and get the tune that gives the overwhelming sense of relief that David feels here, the praise from ceasing his struggle and simply waiting. In verse 2, David gives the reason for his praise. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. You know what's worse than a pit, don't you? A slimy pit. Mud and mire, slick walls, with nothing firm to stop the sink. David knew those walls were slippery when wet because he had tried to save himself. Finally, he gives up. Like a person sinking in quicksand, he simply waits. He waits on God to rescue him. God hears. No longer is David struggling, but surrendering. And surrendering to God is like shooting the bat signal in the sky. And here, God comes to the rescue. God lifted me out of the slimy pit, the mud and the muck, and set my feet on something solid, a rock. Suddenly, David is no longer sinking, he's singing. Verse 3, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. David's song before was probably a lament, a sad, hopeless song, but now it's praise, a new song, one he's never sung before. And perhaps that blend of lament and praise was what Bono was getting at when he complained about church music. Because I picture this song changing when David gets to this verse. I picture the mournful blues transforming to symphonic strings. And sometimes, like this song, our life can feel like both at the same time. Mournful, yet uplifting. Like Paul stating in Corinthians, we are cast down, yet not forsaken. Still in a hole, but waiting, knowing God will lift us up. Knocked down, but not knocked out. Stop and ask yourself, what kind of song are you singing today? Is it a song of guilt? A song of confusion? A song of pain, betrayal, loneliness, or relief, rescue, or perhaps a combination of all of them at the same time? I get the feeling that David's song here included some kind of blame, self-blame. After all, most of the pits I've ever fallen into, I've dug myself. And perhaps David was feeling guilty, caught in the consequences of his own sin. It would certainly shed some light on why David may be saying in verse 6, sacrifice and offering you do not desire. Have you ever asked yourself what God really wants from you? It's a good question to ask from time to time because we so often forget. God doesn't want our money. He doesn't want our groveling. He never asks us to make it up to him when he rescues us. That'd be like a superhero saying, hey, I saved you from that falling building. All right, pay up. That'll be $200. If you've ever been stranded late at night and a friend or parent comes to pick you up because of your own stupidity, like maybe you failed to get gas or you stopped checking your oil, or even locked your keys in your car. You know what this feels like. The shame and embarrassment of having to be rescued from a problem you created without any help from anyone else. But now you need help from somebody else. David knows God doesn't want his guilt. He doesn't want his sacrifices. He just wants David. Take note of that. When you screw up, God just wants you. And verse 6 here proves this. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. My ears you have opened. This is one of my favorite pictures in the Bible. It doesn't mean to make you listen, like when old people tell you, open your ears, young whippersnapper. No, this is referring to a custom from the book of Moses, the law, where a servant served his time, paid off his debt, making him free to go. But if that servant loved the master, Moses says they could opt to join that family. But if they did, it would be for life. They go from being a servant out of need to becoming a son of love. They go from servant to family in a moment. And to symbolize it, they would literally go to the front door and they would nail their earlobe to the front doorpost, showing that now they were a part of the furniture, part of the establishment. They were devoted to that family for life. You have opened my ears, David's way of saying, you've earned my love for life, Lord. I don't want to be anywhere else with anyone else. God's love, just that he wanted David, makes David want God. We love him because he first loved us. And in this psalm, David encapsulates that act actually happening. But in verse 7, something shifts. Suddenly, David announces something that doesn't really fit him. He's speaking, but not about himself. David waxes prophetic as he nears God here, and the Spirit takes hold of him. Note that he rephrases God doesn't want sacrifice at the tail end of verse 6. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. And then, verse 7. Then I said, here I am. I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. Wait a minute. Hold up. That sounds a bit like Jesus. In fact, Hebrews directly quotes these verses about Jesus becoming our sacrifice. God didn't want the offerings of bulls and goats, so Jesus steps forward in human flesh. Here I am. I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Even in the shadow of the cross, Jesus says, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus not only desired to do God's will, he did it perfectly. He once stated, I always do what pleases him. And that's the only reason Jesus could die for us, is because he was innocent of sin. And the only reason he was innocent of sin was because God's law was in his heart. Jesus lived a perfect life, the life you and I could never live. Then, in his body, he took all the penalty for mankind, and God punished Christ instead of us. Now, it's all making sense. Psalm 40, I couldn't save myself. I dug my own pit. But I cried out to God, and he set my feet upon a rock. Wait a second. That's another title for Jesus. Man, how prophetic was David? But he goes on. Verse 9. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord. As you know, I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. Bono would be proud of David here. As David sings about his salvation and deliverance, the volume swells and the percussion booms. He sings loud, he sings proud. He's shining the light of the salvation he's freshly experienced, singing his new song, and God is using David. But I wonder if David knew what was happening as he composed, if he knew that he was prophesying about the Messiah, or did he back away from his composition thinking, I don't know what just fully came out of me, but I think God is speaking, something I don't fully understand. Either way, David sings of God's faithfulness in the spite of his own unfaithfulness. He sings of God's saving help, and now he turns to God to ask for even more mercy, because David knows he's not out of the woods. He's been given grace and mercy, but that's never a one-time thing. Like us, he knows he needs more and more every day. Verse 11, do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Was Bono right about Christian art and music when he said it was dishonest? Speaking of the Psalms, Bono admired the pain, the honesty that David expresses. Try echoing David at church sometime. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. You might get a bunch of Bible verses shoved at you. You get a ton of advice, opinions, and probably instruction. But you might not get honesty. David has no problem bearing his heart here with everyone because he's found a God he can completely and totally trust. He's received mercy, and rather than making him a monster, it only humbles him even more, giving him a final confession. In verse 17, but as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.